It is January 11th, 2013. I am Dave Lefkowitz, and the name of the program is Dave's Gone By. 3 hours of talk, humor, music, interviews, all sorts of fun stuff that we've been doing since 2002 in one way or another, in one place or another. And you've picked a really good episode to tune into here on this Saturday. We're going to have a really cool interview with a major, pretty major American playwright. He had a Tony-winning musical on Broadway, yay. Also, Rabbi Saul Solomon will be here not only to conduct that interview, but he'll have his weekly rabbinical reflection. He'll be talking about Phil Robertson and the Duck Dynasty clan. Also, we'll go inside Broadway for theater news and information and stuff. And we'll have Saturday segues, a couple of birthday segues for folks who will be having their, well, special birthday occasions in the days ahead. But before we get to any of that, we kind of have a special guest in the neighborhood, an unexpected one completely. I got in today, a little later as usual than I ordinarily want to, but finally get into the place, get my computer set up, get things going, and there's this incredibly annoying, high-pitched, whining hum that's coming from the station. And I'm used to, everywhere I've worked, having an array of technical difficulties to contend with. And so the computer seems to be working, and even the stream seems to be working. So it's this weird thing. And I realize, first of all, that since I've been here last, they put in cable TV, which is great. I mean, we're a radio station, so we're allowing the enemy into our field of view. But I think they did it more for the group that has the rest of this building upstairs. But hey, a TV, I guess it's connected to cable. Although I see a lot of wires and nothing actually plugged into anything. So, well, at least the box seems to be working. We can all stare at the box, if not at the actual shows on the television set. Anywho, I come in here as usual. I'm kind of frantic. I'm plugging and unplugging. I'm turning on and off and doing and running. I'm trying not to break anything. And happily, just so happens that someone who is also here at UNC Radio, one of the students who is part of the team here, happened to be here, said, hey, let me take a look. He goes down and he sees where this whining noise is coming from, and it's just this box that had to be reset, not the cable box, but this other thing that's connected to the computer that has the songs that play when we're not actually here doing live shows. So he flipped the switch. Boom, it went on, and I thank him very much. And as his reward, I'm not giving him money, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have any money. I'm not going to give him sex because my wife would object. But I am going to give kudos to Thomas. What is your last name, Thomas?
Hoffman.
Thomas Hoffman. Hello, Thomas Hoffman, and welcome to the neighborhood.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Cool. So what do you do at UNC Radio?
Currently, I am the director of sports here at the UNC Student Radio.
All right, director of sports. So, all right, this actually brings up a bunch of questions that I have been curious about. I know UNC Radio over the past 4.5 years that I've been here has been very involved in hockey.
Yes.
I know we go to the hockey. In fact, there's even like a video part of our... Explain what we do for hockey.
For hockey, hockey is a club sport here at UNC, which isn't to say that it's not competitive. It's very competitive. They're in the American Collegiate Hockey Association, a big acronym. That's just the ACHA.
Okay.
They have regional championships, national championships. This year's national championships, I believe, are somewhere in Nebraska, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But
especially if it's in February. Yeah, right, yeah.
So, but we try to make it to every game, home and away. They don't travel very far because it's club,
right.
And we are there. The only three games we didn't cover was this three-game stand. They went to California.
California, they couldn't get you.
They couldn't get me to
Nebraska,
California.
Nebraska, no problem.
But exactly.
Boise, Idaho, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, Fargo, North Dakota, probably.
Oh, but. Yeah, but no, but San Francisco, no.
No, so they went to, but they're a very good team. They have been. They won two division titles in 2006 and 2007. And so we do a live video and audio broadcast.
Yeah,
so that you can find on Ustream.tv. Just type in UNC Hockey in the search bar, and that's us.
But do we simulcast them on UNCRadio.com, or is it a separate
thing? It's a separate entity, because the timing with some of the games, some are at 4:30, some are at 7, and we like to have as many people they can have shows like this one when they can.
Oh, no, that's great. I mean, it doesn't preempt. I mean, this is typical for colleges. Usually, even in colleges more major than UNC is, and you have longstanding people on the radio who are professional radio people, not even the students, and they get bumped for the big sports games. And it's kind of cool that there's a separate thing for people who want sports. It's there for people who are not so into, they can listen to the regular programming. But what other sports? I mean, volleyball. What else?
Yeah. We used to do volleyball. We don't anymore. Why? We started this year. We do a live pregame show. We did a live pregame show for the football team that started about an hour, hour and a half before kickoff. We set up live, kind of like College Game Day outside Nottingham Field, and that went out over the radio.
Right, yes, I remember that, yeah.
Then we transition to basketball season here, and we're doing the same thing, but that one's not on the radio, again, because of the times. That's on the Ustream, if you type in UNCO basketball there. But we do a live pregame show in Butler Hancock. You can find us if you're ever there every single home game.
Yeah.
Usually like the Thursday nights, the weeknights, students are kind of targeting that one, so we're trying to get to the games that most students show up to. And luckily, both men's and women's basketball teams are having a really good season this year.
Is that audio and video for the basketball, or just audio?
That's just the audio part.
Why are you able to do the hockey with pictures and the others not?
Well, we could. It was just a decision that we made as far as it, I don't know. We treated it more like a pregame radio show instead of like an actual true broadcast. I mean, we could set up a camera right there
in Butler Hancock
but they just see us for like an hour.
Well, you can point the camera. I don't get it. In the hockey thing, you're watching a hockey game.
Yeah,
it's one camera. I mean, it's panning back and forth, but they couldn't do that with basketball.
I guess we could.
I'm just curious. I'm not putting you on the spot. Yeah.
I don't know. The team made. They didn't want to be on camera.
Set up the camera in volleyball, at the net, back forth, you know.
Yeah.
And please, I'm waiting for the women's volleyball, especially hot young women.
We had a guy that subbed in as the PA announcer at the volleyball games. That was the first PA or...
Public address? What do you mean,
like,
PA?
Yeah, like the public, like the one that says, like, Point Bears. And that was the first volleyball game I went to this season. I went to a lot last season. They actually won the Big 12 tournament. Big Sky.
Big Sky, right.
Big Sky tournament. This year, they needed to win that night, and a team had to lose for them to make the tournament, and it happened. It was awesome.
That's cool.
I mean, unfortunately, there were only, like...
No, I remember. It was exciting. I remember about... I guess it was two or three seasons ago now, maybe two, when the men's basketball team went to a certain level. I mean, they were even on ESPN2. They were on regular, like, TV for the Big Sky tournament in basketball. They had that that basketball hero here, whatever. What was his name? Do you remember? He graduated out, but he had a pretty nice year.
I don't know. Unfortunately, I got to UNC the year after we had that amazing run, so... Yeah.
You're a sophomore now, or what are you?
Yeah, I'm a sophomore. I'm going into my second semester of my sophomore year here.
So let me ask Thomas, and I'm sorry, what was the last name again?
Hoffman.
Thomas Hoffman. It's a great radio name. It's a perfect name for media. Thomas Hoffman, are you studying what? Communications, journalism, what are you in?
I am a business administration major with an emphasis in marketing and a minor in communications.
Lordy, lordy. Okay. How do you like the program?
Be
honest. I mean, this is... Saturday morning radio, tell warts and all, great and awful, and in the middle.
No, I love this school. I'm not from Colorado. I'm originally from Oregon. I live in Salem, Oregon.
I guess you're an Oregon donor. Sorry.
I got the thing on my driver's license.
Good for you.
So I am.
I want your eyes. My eyes are starting to go, so...
I'll just let them know.
You don't have to be dead. At a certain point, they're going to be... deteriorated to a certain point that I will want your eye. You'll be in your 30s.
Yeah, but I won't need them then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so...
Anyway, from Oregon, what brought you to UNC?
Well, I'm a pretty, active guy. I like to be outdoors, like to be doing things. I'm a big golfer. I like to go hiking. I'm a huge skier.
But you can do that in Oregon.
You can, but then, that's the thing. I kind of felt that Oregon and Colorado were kind of comparable. in those situations that you could do those same sorts of things. And I mean, no offense to, I mean, I love my home state. I think Oregon is the coolest place to live. I think it's the coolest state of the 50. But I have a lot of friends that I went to high school with that I don't talk to anymore, you know, per se. And I just kind of wanted to leave them back in Oregon. I mean, they went to the public universities of Oregon, Oregon State. I mean, I grew up a huge University of Oregon Duck fan and still am. But
sometimes you need to.
I needed new people. So I came out here and I looked at the business school and it was awesome. I mean, it's been a fun ride so far. I love the communications part of it. And I know that, I mean, communications isn't the most prestigious major or minor at a university, but their classes are fun. I think you learn a lot more having that type of fun. I have a professor she got her undergrad here at CU Boulder, but then went and got her master's degree in teaching at Harvard. Whoa. But she's like the chillest person that I know, and her classes are so much fun. And you'd think that somebody who graduated from Harvard is like, oh, we have all this academia stuff that we need to.
Well, are the communications classes hands-on? Are they lecture? I mean, what is a communications class besides obviously like filmmaking 101 or radio 102? You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm up to, I think the class I'm taking this term is intercultural communication and small group communication and just kind of learning, and it's very hands-on. It's lots of speeches and that kind of stuff. I like speeches. I don't mind getting up in front of people and talking. Some people have that issues.
You don't have stage fright. Well, yeah, you obviously do not have stage fright. Well, I asked this
I
man.
I conquered that. I used to be.
Oh, how?
Well, I was a theater kid in high school.
So was I. But yeah.
I lived a very weird life. I like to think that I am because I. Okay, here.
Talk to me. Talk
here
to me.
At camp. I don't know if you noticed this.
What?
Here at campus, but we have. The West Campus side, you know, that's where all the business majors and communication majors, like, live, like, their freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah.
It's very busy over there. And then the Central Campus side, this is, like, the arts and that's – but the business school is on the far corner. So the business majors have to walk through
the arts
majors. And there's, like, this animosity between the two that I don't get because when – going through high school, I mean, I did lots of sports in high school. I was part of DECA.
But I didn't realize you were part of – what was DECA?
DECA is like, you know, FBLA, like Future Business Leaders of America. It's like the same along those lines. But I did theater my freshman year through my senior year, but I also had this business and sports part of it. So I was kind of a jock in high school.
Okay.
But I also was a theater nerd, and I love the theater. Yeah. So, like, when I walk over to Central Campus, I'm like, oh, yeah, these are my friends over here.
Yeah,
like,
they're your homies. What shows did you do in high school? What theater productions? Right.
The first show I was a part of, the first show I actually, like performed on stage. Because I did a lot of tech work.
You learn all the different – yes.
The first show I was actually – I did tech for was a show called Fools.
The Neil Simon comedy?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then the first show I was a part of was The Diviners.
Wow. When you say you were a part, you were in it?
Yeah, I was in it.
Who was that? Who wrote that? It wasn't... Lanford Wilson.
I have this poster in my bedroom. Oh, okay, I'd have to go look. And then I was in Into the Woods. I was the narrator.
All right,
and Into the Woods, they killed me off.
That's, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you could have been the cow.
I could have been. That would have been worse.
Yeah.
And then probably my favorite show that I did was Rumors. We did
production of
Rumors my junior year. And that's probably my favorite show as far as just comedy goes and just like a straight show instead of a musical. I don't like to sing a whole lot. My theater teacher, she tricked me into being into the woods.
How did she trick you?
She told me that I didn't have to sing. But then there's like this whole number at the end of Act One where I have a solo, and I walked out the day like we read through that. Like I was I was so mad. She tricked me.
And she made it. I mean, she said, wow.
She's like, yeah.
I guess she knew you could carry a tune then. She wouldn't have done that if she didn't think – I mean, it was wrong of her, yes. But she wouldn't have done that if she didn't think that you could carry the song. And was she right? I mean,
I guess I did all right. I mean, nobody complained.
Good. Okay. Did you do anything past Into the Woods, or was that the end of your school years.
Well, then I didn't. That was the end of my like being in a production. Right. But then I did a lot of tech work for the shows after that. Our high school did, you know, kind of the typical Guys and Dolls. We did Guys and Dolls, and then we did the Rain Man.
Rainmaker? Or no, the one big 110 on no. the Shade.
I lied. We did the Music Man.
I
don't know why I said Rain Man in there, but
we did. 44 productions, 33 scenes. 44 exactly. productions, 33 scenes. Yeah.
We did the Music Man my senior year, and then we did this weird show. I guess it's not weird. I mean, it was a very, very good show.
It was weird because you were involved in it. Yeah.
Well, the people that were in it were also weird, but they did a very, very good job. We did the show called Almost Maine.
That's getting productions all over America now. It's very popular. I've never seen it.
It's a very like deep show, and so it's.
Oh, I thought it was just cute couple like romantic comedy thing. No,
it kind of is, but there's some like really kind of like intense ones.
Oh, okay.
And yeah,
cool. Now that you're here at UNC and you've been here a year and a half, right? You're not involved though at all in theater. Is that maybe why there's animosity between the camps? Because you can you audition for a show if you wanted to?
Well, I found that both the business side and the theater side, I've talked to both, and mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a business major. I had to go and tell the theater side I'm not a theater major, but I found that both are very pretentious when it comes to those types of things, but in the business side, equally so. I have problems with a lot of professors in the business school, but I went up and I was like, you know, hey, I don't even have to be in a show. I'll do tech work, you know, like I just kind of want to be like, see what's going on here. Cause I mean, this program, it's an award-winning program at UNC. I went and saw, when Wicked came to Portland, early, in its life, I went and saw it. And the lead, Fiero, was played by a guy who graduated here from UNC.
Cool.
And I was like, that's pretty cool.
It is.
I'm going there.
We've had a couple of. Greg German is probably the most well known guy. He was on Ally McBeal, and he's done some movies and other TV stuff.
Yeah.
He's a UNC grad. We've got people on Broadway now. I think the one thing that may have held you back. And so, I mean, the kids who are in the theater program, not only do they have to, you know, they want to audition and be part of that, but they've got to do tech and ushering and all that other stuff to get points to accumulate to do. So they're going to have first dibs on everything because it builds towards their degree, let alone anything else.
Yeah.
So that may be why were you stopped from...
They told me that the only thing that I could really audition for was like the fall one acts.
Oh, I directed one of those.
Oh, really? A year ago.
Yes, I did. I wrote and directed one. Of course, you saw it. It was brilliant. Called Down Came the Sun. Did you see about the Key West? Or do you
didn't
see it?
I didn't go. I didn't see it.
Well, you could have auditioned for that. Those are cool.
Yeah.
They're over in Norton. Yeah. And they do them actually fall and spring.
So yeah, that's probably the only thing that I could do, and I haven't. I don't know. It was a weird kind of compilation of. I didn't imagine myself being the director of sports here at UNC Radio, and now I'm.
Yeah, no, but it's good that you can do that. But I also, again, I'm trying to fill you in on maybe the decision making process from that side. Who does it say is calling?
Says you're calling.
Oh, hit the this hit the. UNC Radio, you are on the air.
Hey, honey, how are you?
Hello, we're on the air. I've got my new friend Thomas here, who is Thomas Hoffman. He's a sophomore at UNC, and he's helping with the radio stuff, and we're also talking theater here. So, actually, Thomas, if you can pull down that mic, I can get that mic on, and you can get your own mic on. How are you doing, hon? How are you feeling? Joyce is my wife. She's normally here with us on Saturday mornings, but she was not feeling up to par. So what's happening, babe?
Well, I feel a little better. I just wanted to make sure you were okay. I felt bad I didn't join you.
Oh, yeah, no, actually, I almost didn't go on the air. I came in here, and there was just a whining, loud, pitched hum thing. One of the things had to be reset. I had no idea what was going on. And old Thomas here was to the rescue. He said, let me turn this off and back on again. And he did. And now I'm on the air and broadcasting merrily and having a fine old time chatting with Thomas. So yay, Thomas, yay. That's my wife, Joyce. Say hi, Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Joyce, say hi, Thomas.
Hi, Thomas. Thank you for helping David.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
So you're feeling okay, babe? Anything doing? How are the dogs?
No barking, which is good.
Do you, Thomas was talking about this perceived animosity between the business school here and the arts school. There's just kind of a there's two separate camps that kind of don't like each other. Do you sense that between any other groups here on campus?
I think in every university there's got to be some of that stuff because everybody's fighting for the same resources, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know PVA that well, you know. I don't know.
Okay, that's a fair call. Let's see, I'm trying to think of a question that both of you could weigh in on.
No, listen, David, I'm going to let you talk as long as you have a friend. I wanted to make sure you weren't alone.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm still lonely without you because sexually Thomas is just not fulfilling my needs. But verbally he's doing all right. And silence on the other end of the phone. Well, hon. Thank you.
Have a good time.
Thank you so much. Feel good. Feel well. And I'll see you later, baby. Thank you for calling in, though. Love you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thomas, if you could just hit the thank you very well. That was my wife, Joyce. I knew that's so sweet of her to be calling in. She's normally here for the past few months. She's been helping us start the show for the first half hour or so. And she's just been under the weather the last couple of days. So.
Seems like everybody has. I got back and...
Yeah, man.
Like, I had issues last week. My roommate's dad, he's got the flu.
Yeah. And did he give it to his son, or?
I hope not.
Yeah. No, he's just a carrier.
Yeah, gosh.
He'll get it in a couple of days. So, all right. So, instead of dealing with the theater, because you can't, you aren't going to be part of that, you get to be part of UNC Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You do this, when you're connected to the sports, what do you do?
I mean, I organize teams to go to those hockey events. I organize teams to go to the pregame shows. Like we said, we got baseball coming up here in the spring. I have a meeting with lacrosse that they want us to be part of their venture.
Had lacrosse.
It's another club team.
Yeah.
So it's – and lacrosse is huge here in Colorado. It's not so much back in Oregon, but – yeah, we had the lacrosse thing. I organized those things. And then we have a couple people on this radio show, myself included, that have sports shows.
When is your show?
My show is tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 11 on Sundays.
Oh, that makes total sense. Then you go home and you watch football.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Up right to the football games. That's what we try to do on every Sunday. So every Sunday, 9 to 11, the UNC Sports Den.
That's what it's called, the UNC Sports Den.
Yeah.
On UNCRadio.com. Hosted by Thomas Hoffman and who?
Grant Greenelge.
Grant Greenelge?
Yeah, it's a
is that Greenelge? Yeah.
Green out, like it's spelled like green, and then H-A-L-G-E.
Huh. Greenelge. Yeah, okay. Cool. And you cover all different, you cover professional sports as well as UNC stuff?
Yeah, we always lead off with what's going around the campus, and then we transition into what's ever going on that week. I mean, it's been heavy on college football and the NFL for the past couple of months, but that's kind of a given. When we started, it was heavy on baseball. In spring, it'll be kind of baseball heavy once again, NBA heavy probably right now.
Yeah.
But well, actually, right now, we got the NFL, we got playoff games.
And it's Denver.
Today Denver's. And tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow's Broncos are Broncos, right, yeah. How much are they going to win by?
How much are they going to win by? I don't know. I'm sorry, Dave. I don't know if this will offend you, but I'm not a Broncos fan.
Dude, I lived in New York. I'm still a Jets fan.
Well, that's...
which is a disaster.
J-E-T-S. Jets,
yeah. Well, you would be... Wait, Oregon would have the port... No, you don't have it.
We don't have a team. So I have to choose.
Yeah, right.
And Denver fans don't like what I chose a lot. I went on a family vacation to the Bay Area one time. I was very little, and my dad was like, hey, the Raiders are playing tomorrow. Would you like to go to a Raiders game? And I was like 6 at the time.
Yeah.
And we took BART over, and we walked in. And if you ever take the BART station walking into the Coliseum there, it looks like a jail. I mean, it looks like a jail. There's like fences that go up. There's like barbed wire on the top. And you're like, where am I heading? But I went in, and, like, it's a preseason game. It wasn't even a regular season game. Randy Moss was still playing for Oakland at the time. And I had never seen fans more excited about a preseason game. And I was just like, Dad, I got to be part of this. This is amazing. this is a fan base I can get behind that's that excited. I mean, granted, they do some terrible other things. they have a terrible reputation. But I'm trying to change that, Dave. Yeah. I'm on a mission to change the perception of Raiders around the world, Raider fans.
Well, I got to say, I mean, I'm a Jets fan, even though the Jets have been, you know, a disaster for decades. But when, pardon me, my wife and I visited New Orleans a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and it was after Katrina, but man, it was during the football season. It was like January, and you can feel a certain football fever in that town for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
That you can feel in New York, even for Crazy Giant and Jet fans. There was something about, you know, the Saints there.
And it's like, I get that with, like, teams that just have, like, a couple, like, one or two professional teams in cities.
That just have, yeah, right,
like,
yeah.
Oakland just has basketball, basketball, baseball, and football, but nobody really cares about their basketball team. But they get behind their baseball and their football. Denver, like, no offense to Denver fans, but it's like because there's like 18 professional sports in Denver.
Colorado Rockies.
The Rockies, they got the Nuggets, they got the Outlaws, they got the Mammoths, they have the Rapids.
I'm sorry, but I still, whoever picked Nuggets was the next
team. I don't know.
Team.
I mean, that goes back to the ABA days, but.
Little gold. I mean, can you imagine, like, hey, mom, dad, I'm a professional basketball player. I'm a Nugget. I'm a Jet. I'm a Colt. I'm a Nugget.
It's better than being like a Wizard, I guess.
Good point.
Wizard.
Okay. Now let's talk about the elephant in the room before I let you go, which would be the UNC. The UNC Bears football team.
Yes.
What the hell happened to this team? They were making progress last year. You know, they went from 0 and everything
mm-hmm.
to being almost a 500 team within a year.
Yeah.
And then this year just in the toilet. What was there shit going on behind the scenes or something? What was really going down?
You know, that's what I've been trying to figure out for the last month, you know, 5-6 months. It was weird because we did see that progress and everybody was excited. The seniors that I was talking to, the people on the football team that I know that I was talking to were very excited about this upcoming season. In reality, I guess, it's a student radio. I don't think they're going to hear me, but I mean, I have a lot of criticisms of the football team and the way that they run it. Luckily, we have hired a new athletic director. We didn't have one. Jay Hendricks had resigned at the end of last year.
Yeah, what was that all about?
From what I know, it was his kind of attitude towards the media and, you know, him not really caring about the media, or if he didn't like them, then...
What media? It's KFKA.
Exactly.
What media does our football team get?
What they did is they turned around and got the anti-Jim Hendricks. They got this guy who specializes in media, this guy named Darren Dunn, who at the University of New Mexico was the media director at the University of New Mexico for 10 years. This guy, when he got there, they had one network, much like UNC, they had KFKA. Yeah. When he left, they had 63 affiliates across like a couple states that carried New Mexico football games, and he created a television network called the Lobo Network in New Mexico for people in New Mexico to watch those games. So I anticipate a lot of that to start to happen here at UNC, which will be good for a lot of things. But the football team goes hiring Coach Collins like they did. He's a graduate here from UNC. He played here at UNC.
Yeah.
He was also 3-9 at Alcorn State when they picked him up.
But he was 5-6 last year. What happened? I mean, okay, the first year you come in, which he did, it was awful. It was but they kept getting better throughout the season.
Yes.
At first they were horrible, and then they almost won a few games. They could have been like 3-8, whatever the hell the number of games are.
Yeah.
That first year they weren't. They just didn't know how to win, and then they learned in the next season, and then it just all crashed. I thought maybe it's because Lobato, the quarterback, hurt his shoulder for 2 games. But then he came back, he was fine, and it had nothing to do with that. What the hell?
Seth Lobato's a great quarterback, and he put up some really good numbers. We have, like, the best wide receivers in the Big Sky, and the Big Sky is the best conference in FCS football.
FCS meaning?
football championship series instead of football bowl series. So they actually have playoffs. So they have like 16 teams that make the playoffs. They have playoff rounds. I believe Towson won the championship.
But that's the thing. Everybody assumed or figured we had a good shot coming off a 5-6 year. That the year after, with a senior quarterback, the guys he's been working with, Collins in for his third year, that would have been the ideal time. If not, all right, maybe not making the championship, but getting into the playoffs, maybe winning 9 games. 8 games, something like that.
Yeah, and the schedule kind of helped them out there. They had a really, I mean, they didn't play the best team. I mean, like, they didn't play the worst teams in the Big Sky. They played some really good teams. They played, and they ended up playing 4 teams that were ranked inside the top 25. But, right, everybody kind of expected us to be kind of right there. We had a veteran offensive line. What happened was the ability of that offensive line, they kind of took that season for granted in my mind, because coming off a 5-6 season, say, okay, we're gonna do really well this upcoming year, and then it didn't work. That second game, the first game they played this NAIA school named Langston. The second game,
they won the first game.
Yeah, and then they played Langston. That was the NAI. But then they played CSU Pueblo, who's a very good Division II school, but we are a Division I school. So you'd think that the jump between Division II and Division I would be enough, and CSU came in and beat us.
Yeah.
And or CSU Pueblo, that is. CSU Pueblo came in and beat us, and that kind of rocked everybody. And then things started to happen. We had the best two wide receivers in the Big Sky in Dimitri Stemfill and Jace Davis. Jace Davis ended up leaving the team for reasons that I don't know. That's another thing about this
football
team.
Maybe he broke a rule.
We have suspensions that happen that they don't publicize. Nobody gets to ask questions about, and they just say, well, he's not going to play. And so it's tough on myself and my partner Alex, who does the pregame shows with me. And, you know, we tried to do our best to figure out what's going on with inside the football team.
Could it be a simple thing of he missed the GPA by 0.02?
Yeah, but we don't know. Yeah, and then people start to assume the worst. And
with most sports teams and colleges, the worst is that he raped somebody.
Yeah, I know. It started up like Jameis Winston or something. But the football team, they just kind of took this season for granted. They could never get back on track. Early in the season, they couldn't run the ball behind that offensive line. And we have a great running back in Tremaine Dennis, or was.
I mean, we're losing all these people.
We're losing 25 seniors this
But in some ways, that's good. Because you've got to start. I mean, it's kind of like I'm also much more than a New York Jets fan. I'm a New York Mets fan.
So is my sister.
Really?
Yeah, I have no idea why.
You're from Oregon.
I have no idea why. Okay. She loves like the underdog, and like the Mets haven't been good since like '86.
I know.
But I'm a huge Red Sox fan, so.
You've had your joy finally after billions of years. The Red Sox were like boom.
I know it was because I mean. I have family in Boston, and so that kind of – I've actually never been to Boston, but I grew up – my family like from Boston visited when I was 3 and we watched Red Sox games. So that's – I became a big Red Sox fan, and then also we won in 2004, 2007, and then this year my uncle keeps calling me. He's like, I hate you. Like never in my lifetime did I win a national – like did we win a World Series, and then you've got 3. You're only 20. Like, that's so not fair.
And, well, you know, time. Good things come to those who wait, but I'm waiting. I mean, we did. I was a Met fan from the 1970s, and people like, you know, Dave Kingman and Felix Mion. We lost one World Series in Oakland. Okay, we made it to that World Series. It wasn't until the mid-1980s, and even then we only got one World Series ring. And then since then, I'm rambling.
A thank you card?
Who?
Did you send Buckner a thank you card? Bill Buckner?
I know. The thing for the... I know. Thank you, Bill Buckner. He probably still gets cards from Met fans on his birthday.
Probably.
Now. But the thing was about... Oh, gosh. It's almost a decade now. But there was this year when the Mets were about 10 or 12 games in first place throughout the season. Literally, they were just right on top of the world. And they just threw out... July, August, and September, they started losing. And they didn't seem to care because they were just so high up. And then it got to the point where it was the end of the season. They were tied for first. They literally lost like a 12-game cushion that they had. And then they lost the playoff game. And it just, we lost. they were making so much money, it didn't seem to matter to them that they lost. And then the thing, and the point that I'm trying to make is that in the off season, they didn't fire anybody. They kept the coach, they kept all the players, and then same thing. Then the next season, they were up about 5 or 7 games for the chunk of the season, and then they lost that. And again, and then from then on, they turned into a 400 ball club. But the point was, they had talented players on that team that quit, that team that just went south that year, and players that I liked. But when you have a year like that, you know, when nobody cares and everybody quits, I don't care who they are or how talented they are. They're not going to step up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get rid of them. I mean, they got this player on the Mets called David Wright,
mm-hmm.
and he's one of their star players. And everybody likes him.
Home run derby champion.
Great Gold white glove. Hope, as it were. You know, Gold white glove. People get to root for him if they don't want to. You know, because we're talking Queens. We're talking, you know, still there's that level of racism from years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, seems like a really nice guy, very talented. He works hard. He's not like that Robinson Cano for the New York Yankees. There's like, do I really have to go to first base? Yeah. So he you know. And well, yet,
they're paying him like $27 million for the next 10
but
in Seattle.
Being, yeah.
But he better go to first base.
He won't. It's not in his nature. If he thinks the ball's going to be caught, he's going to get halfway to first base and turn around. That's just what he does. You know? And he's being paid too much to give a crap.
Yep.
A kid making nothing in Sandlot Bay, just playing on the stoop, is going to run his heart out. Robinson Cano is... But anyway, Wright is one of the good guys. And yet... He was part of these teams that just quit, fell apart. Don't care if he didn't personally, but, you know, when something like that, you get rid of people. You do start over. So what I'm saying is, I think this year could have been or should have been a watershed for UNC's
mm-hmm.
football team. And the fact that we are losing Lobato and we are losing, because they graduated out, they were seniors, these folks, not such a bad thing.
No, and it's not.
Wow, that was a long wind up to that. Yeah.
No, I think it's that's a fantastic point because for some reason when I was watching and I watched a couple practices, you'd see two very different offenses practice. You would see the Seth Lobato practice out of a pro style, sometimes out of the shotgun. They'd run that. That was that offense. Then they had this guy who redshirted this year, and he's a freshman, and he won like every award in Colorado. He's at a Grand Junction, I believe, that you can in football. His name is Sean Rubalcaba, and he's like this. I mean, he was a high school standout, won every award, and then when he'd come in, they ran this kind of spread option type of football, and it was very weird because it was two very different styles of football, and it was almost to me towards the end of the season, like I got the impression that okay, Seth Lobato's a senior, this offensive line's a senior, we're gonna let them play their senior year out, and then because with Collins still having 1 year on his contract left, UNC's not gonna pay that out. They're not going to...
Right. They're not
gonna. So they're probably going to keep Collins for next season.
Right.
So I think, Sean Rubalcaba, he's going to be that
their quarterback.
Because our backup, Tim Tancic, he's also a senior, so we're losing our backup too. So Rubalcaba is going to be the guy. And I'll be very interested to see what kind of football that they play it seems like they have been practicing with Rubalcaba in that backup, that second team as a spread offense that we've seen of teams go to.
The new blood, and it'll also be the fact, as Collins would say in his defense, look, this is going to be the first time I picked, first team that I picked from the get-go.
Yeah.
These are going to be all my
choices.
These are
all his recruits now.
Yeah.
And instead of it being the recruits that he kind of walked in with. And he's done a very good job. I've met a lot of the football team. They had a linebacker that didn't play that had offers from Michigan State. He was a preferred walk-on at Michigan State. The guy, when I talked to him, Michigan State told him that we have spots for 3 linebackers. You're our 4th. If the guys go somewhere else, you're the very next guy that will be here at Michigan State. Obviously, he didn't end up at Michigan State, but he's that type of caliber of player that...
All right, so there may be hope in Mudville. What I didn't realize was that the football team won a couple of big things not that long ago. I think it was the 90s or the...
I believe 97, 98, they won national titles at the Division II level.
I was like, woo-hoo. So that's ESPN worthy, or at least ESPN 3.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very good things, and that's what people have to remember. They have to put things in perspective, because that's the other thing about Colorado football fans. It's like, well, it's just Colorado fans in general. They migrate towards which team is doing the best, and that's the problem, I think, with having that many teams here in Colorado. Right now, everybody's a Broncos fan. Everybody was an Avalanche fan when the season started. They won 12 straight games to open up the season. And now, you ask people, I went to that Avs game on Wednesday night. There were like 12 people there. And they're still in third place. They're going to make the playoffs. But it's like, well, the Broncos, okay. Yeah. That's what's going on. Everybody was a Nuggets fan last year. The Nuggets are nowhere near. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. You won't find people walking around with Nuggets gear anymore. So
I would never walk around with it. I'm sorry. The only thing I would wear is like underpants.
Yeah.
And then on the back of my underpants with an arrow, just Nuggets.
Just Nuggets. Nuggets,
yeah.
And now that you just put a weird thought in
my mind. I know, I did that. Yeah.
Well, because their like slogan is like dig in, so I was like, what if it said like dig in on the bag? I'm sorry, no, that's bad.
Ew. We're talking with Thomas Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen. He is, remind everybody, please, when your radio show is on. It's Sunday mornings, 9 to 11 on uncradio.com. It's called The Sports Den with who? What?
With Thomas Hoffman and Grant Greenhalgh.
Grant Greenhalgh.
Yes.
And you're talking all kinds of sports, and especially, of course, tomorrow's show, which will be January 12th. They'll be talking a lot of Bronco things.
Yeah.
And what else? What's on the...
Well, it's going to be a lot of Bronco. It's going to be a lot of the NBA. It's going to be a lot of college football. We had the national championship happen over break. I wasn't here, so we didn't do a show. So we're going to talk a lot about college football. We're going to talk a lot about the NBA, but we're going to talk a lot about Broncos, and I may upset a few Bronco fans about Peyton Manning tomorrow. So, yeah.
I don't know, better than Eli this year.
Oh, he's a lot better than Eli. Yeah, and I think he's a better quarterback than Eli, but he's not. I don't know. I have this problem. I think Bronco fans make him out to be this deity, which he's not.
All right. We may hold you to in 3.5 weeks, man. You know, when it's, what is it, the Super Bowl is February, whatever.
The first Sunday.
In New York, of all places, for first Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be a great, balmy, like 14 degrees.
Hey, could have been a Fargo.
I like that, though. Okay, personally, as a football fan, I like the possibility of it being snowy on the Super Bowl. Like, and I know that, like, all, like, the media guys are upset. Like, oh, I got to spend a week in an outdoor show in New York.
Right.
Why can't I be in Miami? Of course they want to be in Miami. But for me, like, as a football fan, yeah, go slug it out in the snow like I do every Thanksgiving. Or like,
but if you were, would you sit there and, you know, stand online if you were able to go to the Super Bowl? Would you be cool sitting there for 3.5 hours or 5 hours in, you know, -3 degrees, freezing rain, cold as a fan, as a someone in the stands?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
You just bundle up, get yourself a hot chocolate, you'd be good.
My last story of this conversation, because I have to tell it now, because my dad is a Jet fan, used to have season tickets way in the way back, and brought me when I was a little kid, a little nothing, to a Jets football game. Mm-hmm. He brought me to a couple, but this is the one that he most remembers. And, you know, so we're sitting there, and it's got to be like 7 degrees out. It's just one of those...
Toasty.
But remember, in Colorado, even when it's cold, it's not that...
I know exactly what you're talking about, because your sea level, it's a biting cold. I have it in Oregon too. Yeah.
Oh wow! So in New York, and it's just, and I think it's also like light drizzle. I mean, it's just miserable weather. And my dad was like, you know, I'm sitting there, and he's giving me hot cocoa and stuff, and then, you know, it's just like I'm like turning blue. And he bundles me up, and he gets me the hell home as soon as possible. I was shivering. I was like losing body temperature. Oh, I almost died for the New York Jets, ladies and gentlemen, but I did not. I'm still. It may have stunted my growth. I could have been 6'3" had it not been for that Jet game. No, I don't
know. 6'3".
All right. Let's. Maybe 5'11".
That ruined your basketball career. You could have been a Nugget.
I could have been a lacrosse player, but no.
Theater it was.
I became a theater Nugget. Yes. And a radio Nugget here on Dave's Gone By. I want to thank so much to, Thomas Hoffman of the UNC Sports Crew. Listen to him tomorrow morning, every Sunday morning, at 9 in the morning Mountain Time, doing the Sports Den Show with Alex Greenhalgh. Yes. I'm not making fun. I am making fun of his name, but I'm not making fun of him. So, yeah. So, happy sports to you. Thanks so much for fixing the stuff here at the station and for being such a great, cool guest on Dave's Gone By. No, yeah, man. Thank you to Thomas. And what else do I... Might as well do this since we're live on the air, and I need a beverage. Mm. Can you do a cool thing that just says that I can take out later and piece together and cool and use against you? Can you say hi? Pardon me. You don't have to do the clearing of the throat. Mm. You just have to say hi. This is Thomas Hoffman of you name the show, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio.
All right. This is Thomas Hoffman from the UNC Sports Den, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio.
Perfectamundo. Thank you, Thomas. No problem. Thank you so much, man.